Hey, and welcome to Happy Hour, the definitive 7th Heaven walkthrough. I'm your host, Morgan, with my good friend and neighbor, Greg.
Welcome all.
Welcome all. It's Season 6, Episode 11. Pathetic. Boomy's here. Boomy the cat. As always, when we're in Greg's house, Boomy is very interested in the podcasting process. He wants to grow up to be a producer or something. Audio engineer. I don't know. We could use the help on the audio engineer front. As longtime listeners know, we are recording from Greg's laptop for the first time in a while, so it might sound a little different. We'll see.
Yeah, Boomy has a lot of passions, so it's hard to really for him to pin down what he wants to be.
I mean, he's young. He has time.
He has a lot going on.
Anyway, if you've been liking the show and want to help us out, just give us 5 stars on iTunes, write a review, helps more people find the show, bumps us up in whatever, the, like, people Googling 7th Heaven podcasts. I don't know, like, you guys are crazy anyway, but if we're at the top of that list, that does help. And if you want to write us a letter, you can do so at happyhour@7th, I can't remember the fucking email, happyhour7th@gmail.com. The word's happy hour, the number 7, the letters th@gmail.com. All right. What are you drinking, Greg?
Mead from Charm City Brewery in Baltimore.
Baltimore! Woo! Balmer.
That's what they call it.
Maryland, famous for its Renaissance Fair and having the state sport be jousting, also promulgating mead, which is on brand. And how do you feel about it?
It's not as cold as it could be because I didn't get it too long ago. And I don't know how I feel about mead that much. I got it because Skyrim.
Yes. So the reason Greg bought it is because his Skyrim obsession that he discussed last week is getting more and more intense.
Yeah.
It's much more intense. And he has gotten the Skyrim cookbook. And
Elder Scrolls cookbook.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of Elder Scrolls.
I'm playing Morrowind right now, too.
Oh, my gosh. Dual playthrough. And he will be making some food based on his character.
Well, no, it's not really based. It's just in the book was Redguard rice, and my character's a Redguard. So I'm like, it's something she remembers from her childhood.
Right.
I'm just fleshing out the character.
Something you should know about Greg is he loves to roleplay. Really, just by yourself. Like, solo roleplaying.
Sure.
I mean, when you were playing Fallout and you were, like, standing up and putting weighted things in your backpack while you were playing it.
Like, this one time, I downloaded this Pip-Boy app and then strapped my phone to my wrist with rubber bands, so it was like I had a Pip-Boy.
That's pretty sweet.
It was cool.
Yeah, I've been playing Elden Ring a little bit with Jose and his sister, and this random guy just came into our game, and we thought he was invading us. And we started attacking him, but it turns out he was just dropping, like, hundreds of thousands of millions of runes on us for free.
Oh, wow.
And his name was, like, Gift Junior or something, and he wasn't wearing any clothes, and then he just ran away. It's like, all
and
right.
And then you saw a naked man, you thought, kill him, you have to.
Well, he had, like, a loincloth and a cape, but, yeah. He was, like, some kind of elf or something. Anyway. And
Boomy has a date tonight.
Boomy has a date tonight?
With his girlfriend, Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The blind cat.
The blanket sprinkles.
Yeah.
Does it say something about Boomy's looks?
No, she just is differently able.
Okay.
They're going to go take a walk on the mall and get some ice cream in Chinatown.
That's a long walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a lesbian date. That's going on forever.
They're cats.
On theme, on theme. Our date is sitting around podcasting and making Redguard rice. I think Boomy is a little more hip than us. Boomy's, like, got the ladies. Well,
one lady. They're committed. As committed as can be, as, like, for a teen.
Right. Yeah. Rebecca's in Florida, but she's coming back today. She might already be back. But I've been taking care of Jose's dog because he hurt his leg, and that's been the key of the whole, besides quitting my job and getting all that done, my whole world is revolving around this 14-year-old dog and his delicate walking and feeding schedule. But he's very cute. He's a very good dog. Anything else? Well, we had my birthday party. Greg came over with fried chicken sandwiches, always a big hit. People want those sandwiches, Greg. It's crazy.
It made me feel really good when, like, I made one for Jose, and I was making one for his girlfriend, whose name I can never remember.
Jose's girlfriend? Oh, yeah. Keelan.
Keelan?
It's, Keelan? Like, not a real name. K-E-E-L-A-N.
Okay, Keelan. And she's like, no, I'm good. Then she had a bite of Jose's. I was like, actually, can you make me one? That was really cool.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get my friend David to come on the podcast, and he said he would in exchange for fried chicken. So what is that?
You tell me the day of.
No. It's going to take some planning. And Jose also interested if he was able to get fried chicken.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. We may have a lot of new guests.
Maybe this is our strategy for getting guests, just entice them with fried chicken.
Well, that can work.
There's that. Anything else? I don't know.
Got D&D tomorrow. Brunch the day after. So I'm trying to figure out what to make. And we're told to basically, like, either bring alcohol. Here's all the things we have, which are mostly like mains and sides. Like, bring alcohol and bring fruit, or bring the fruit, or whatever you want. And it's like, most people are probably going to go fruit, probably heavily represented. So maybe, like, overrepresent, and maybe like, so maybe try to figure out some sort of like cocktail. I was trying to think of like, is making your own Bloody Mary mix essentially is just getting tomato juice and putting spices in it or something?
Yeah, I mean, what I do is Clamato, which is the clam juice, tomato juice you can buy in the store. And then I kind of just add things to it until it tastes right, including like various brines like that I have in my fridge for various
pickle juice and some
pickle juice, pearl onion juice, caper juice,
pickled jalapeno.
Jalapeno juice, yeah, like you add some acidic stuff. You have to have some Worcestershire, some garlic powder is really good. If you want to do like a Rim, Old Bay or Zatar, those are good. Some lemon juice, some lime juice. I kind of just add stuff to it so it tastes really good.
It is just like get tomato juice and put stuff in it.
Yeah. Some kind of hot sauce. You know, you want something umami, something acidic, something spicy, you know.
Yeah.
And then just do what you want, basically. Fish sauce, also, I put in Bloody Marys before. That's very good.
Okay, I did just buy vodka too.
And then don't tell people what you put in it, because they'll be like, ew, fish sauce, capers, like, man. It's like, you don't even know what's good, you fucking baby. Like, come on.
No. there will be some picky eaters there, so definitely don't do that.
Don't ever tell them what's in that stuff.
No, so the baby is not be cool enough to get to even want to blame her.
What are you doing? Brunch party where people don't like Bloody Marys? What is this? Well, I'm starting what I'm calling my sabbatical, which is a 4-week break I have engineered in between my old job and my new job.
So you're a professor.
It started about 50 minutes ago, and I am going to do what? I don't know. Go to the movies, go to the museums, go to baseball games in the middle of the day, go to the library, probably go to, like, New York or something once. Go visit my dad or something, but like mostly just being retired. And I'll have way more time to do whatever for 4 weeks, so it's pretty exciting.
Let's start with you.
I think I'm gonna play Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, cool.
That's the plan. That's why I'm walking Manny to get video game money. Like a 7-year-old.
You don't otherwise have.
Well, I do have to go a little bit in the hole to take 4 weeks off. So not too bad, but a little bit, so you know.
What's a $60 game?
70, dude.
Oh, okay, what's a $70
game? That's a lot.
No, something, I don't personally don't like buying new games, but that's something you really want. Then what's...
Yeah, I'm going to. But it was just kind of an expensive month because, you know, we financed your bachelor party, and then I got a tattoo, so that's like hundreds of dollars I would normally be spending, so that's why. Anyway, that's another thing that happened. I got another tattoo. All right, well, moving on. Are you ready to talk about the episode?
Sure.
I didn't like this one very much. It was hard to concentrate on, and I would recommend you skip it if you're doing a rewatch. But anyway. So, Amy's out here. Annie is out here quitting her job, her part-time job, when the principal was about to hire her full-time. And she doesn't really give a good reason yet, and we still won't find out a good reason by the end of the episode, but she's kind of like... Well,
she gives us a reason at the end of the episode, it's just not good.
Yeah, they're kind of hiding from the audience, like, we don't know why she quit.
No, she tells us.
Yeah, by the end, but in the beginning, Eric doesn't know, the audience doesn't know.
Yeah.
We still don't really know. And the principal's like, wow, with everything going on in the world, parents want more private schools. I'm like, when is everything not going on in the world, number one? Number two, like, public schools in some areas are much better than private schools. Maybe. Like Maryland.
They're talking about Columbine, maybe?
That was so much later, though. I was assuming it was, like, a school shooting thing.
Well, that's why I just said Columbine.
Yeah, but it's been, like, 4 years or whatever, where we're at now.
So, that's the mother of all school shootings at the time.
That's true, but it's just weird. I don't know if public versus private is really...
Well...
I'm anti-private schools, can you tell?
Smaller class sizes allow the teachers to keep a greater eye on bullying and shit.
But this was my favorite part of the episode. Big plot twist. Mrs. Riddle shows up because she is going to be working at Ruthie's school.
Did you recognize her?
I don't think it's the same actor. Do you? I didn't recognize her either.
Okay, good. Like, you said that you opened this as if, like, you were like, whoa, I was, like, floored.
I didn't recognize her at all.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is that the teacher from before?
I don't care enough to go on IMDb and find out. Because, first of all, I don't even know what episodes Miss Riddle was in like, season one or whatever. Yeah. But I was like, wow, that's such a callback to something that, like, most of the audience probably doesn't remember.
It made it seem... That's what I thought... Well, like... Yes, and then that's what made me think, like, oh, that must have been a while ago since she was in Miss Riddle's class. And then she started acting like, oh, no, what if I get put into middle... Yeah, what could just happen? Like, oh, I'm, like, the same age. I can get put back into her class. Like, she's, like, worried, like, she has to actually be taught by Miss Riddle. But it seems like a while has passed. So, like, this woman teaches second grade. You're in, like, fifth grade, right?
Yeah, like, I thought it was, like, problem? At least two seasons, but... Maybe they can teach different grades in this very small school.
I'm sure that you can, but it's like, if she didn't have to, why would? Like, she would like to stick with her thing. Mm. Who knows? No reason for Ruthie to immediately assume that this woman's going to become her teacher.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ruthie goes home and starts searching through all the drawers in the kitchen for dish towels so she can smack them against, like, the kitchen island in a fit of rage.
Yeah, that was confusing. I didn't really understand what was happening.
Eric tries to calm her down with some, like, pseudo-philosophy that's, like, trying to be Buddhism or something. He's like, think, act, feel. And he's like, think you have no thoughts. Don't feel anything. Like, that's just like repression, Eric.
He's a learned, worldly man who has friends from all religions.
Yeah. And he has a book about Buddhism.
And takes in all of their suggestions. Mm-hmm.
So, turns out that Ruthie knew that Annie quit her job.
I don't know. I've got a real way back plot remix.
Okay.
How much better of a show would this have been if Lucy actually became a Buddhist? Like, the wacky, wild Brenda Hanton should have let that happen. She has no shame in, like, the... over the top things she puts in. She should have let Lucy become a Buddhist and let that just be a thing that exists in Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
If she had any cojones.
I know. But anyway. Eric finds out Annie quit her job and she just didn't even discuss it with him even though they're married.
Yeah, then I paused and posited that situation to Tina, and we both agreed that's insane. So I'm glad to know that.
And she was like, "You wouldn't have done anything anyway. So why did I have to tell you? You wouldn't have stopped me. Like, that's not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point at all. There's definitely
the point is you're in like a financial contract together, and one source of income is just stopping suddenly with no notice.
And also just trust and
like, yeah, and like why
big,
not? Like
big life decisions.
He's gonna find out. Why are you hiding it?
Your partner." And, yeah, he's not going to stop you, but you owe him, like, not surprising him with this.
My least favorite plot this episode is just Lucy still wearing her engagement ring.
Oh, well, that was kind of weird. At least the Matt and Robbie plot, I didn't understand why it was happening, because I thought they resolved everything before.
Yeah.
And they used what could have been more interesting with, like, Simon driving and, like, getting into an accident and just really just use that as a jumping-off point for Matt and Robbie to be angry with each other for no discernible reason.
Yeah.
Or just, like, rehashing old reasons.
I agree. But anyway, the thing that I don't understand about this is, like, Lucy doesn't even really seem to care about Jeremy. Like, they just want her to be dumber than the character they've written. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Was it dumb or, like, or
more boy crazy and,
like, mentally unwell?
Yeah, like, they've totally... I don't know. They have nothing for her to do on the show. Like, what is she doing? She's not in school.
No, she's supposed to be the go-getter.
Yeah.
And they've completely... Well, what's weird is that none of the kids are, like, actually the, like, the teen show stereotype of, like, oh, I'm really into school, and I gotta... My character arc is I gotta be get into a really good school and then be bummed out when we can't afford it or something like that. Mm. But, like, they're all just there. And now Matt's a good student, apparently. And Lucy's just... What is she even doing with her life right now?
Yeah. Like, almost all of the characters are doing nothing. Like...
Yeah.
Except talking about boys.
Like, Simon's in school. Like,
yeah, but we never see any high school plots anymore.
Sure, but at least we know he's, like, doing something with his life. Like, he is...
Like, we don't see any plots outside of the house anymore. It makes me think there's, like, a budget issue or something. Except
for Ruthie getting to go fancy school.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
This episode...
Yeah.
I think they just don't want...
Sorry. I'm distracted because Boomy's been, like, sort of putzing around the kitchen trying to get into things. And then he just, like, closed the door to the kitchen so that he can, like, hide more while he's in there.
He traps us in the kitchen sometimes.
He's a maniac. Anyway, if you hear banging, oh well, that's Boomy. Yeah, but... She's just, like, resting on the laurels, of, like you said a few episodes ago, just, like, its own internal plot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not
there's
good.
No new plots being added. Like,
or topical issues to bring in.
Yeah.
And, like, do episodes on. They just think that they have, like, a soap opera, honestly.
Yeah,
That just has these weaving threads that everyone needs to know what happens with them, and people are so invested. But they, like, don't do anything to earn that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you said it. All right. Well, Lucy tells Mary to stop calling Wilson, as if she still isn't hung up on Jeremy, apparently. Mary finds out that Wilson has moved out when the landlord picks up the phone. I did love the landlord. She was quite a good time. She can't tell Mary where Wilson is, but she, like... basically gives her information, being like, you can guess, you can figure it out. And she knows all about the breakup situation. So I guess Wilson and the landlord were close.
That was already implied.
Yeah. Simon... Sorry.
But apparently Wilson thinks Mary is mentally unstable enough where you can't tell her where... that he's even moved out.
Yeah, that's
but possibly crazy. That's something that would make her spiral even worse, her just not knowing.
Yeah.
But he seems to think she is... fragile.
She is.
Or like...
gonna hurt him or stalk like him or something?
Either going to break down from this, from knowing this, or is going to do something bad to him.
Yeah. Sorry. Boomy's like in the blinds inspecting the window. Alright. So... So Simon, as you recall, was very recently in a slow-speed car chase and now has decided he's ready to get back on the road again. And this time he's going to do it with Robbie because Robbie has just been like, hey, go ahead and use my car.
Yes, that is what happened.
Well, I don't know what got into Robbie because he's just like...
Well, I think...
He's trying to be cool.
But he also probably didn't know about the 25-year-old thing. Like, why wouldn't he just know about that? Apparently he was breaking it as a teen.
Yeah, but also, like, why would he want Simon to drive his car? He's
just
crashes.
Rob is just a nice guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not like Simon crashed a car. He just drove really slowly for a while.
That's true. And then Mary's out back shooting hoops, and wow, her basketball form has gotten terrible. What is she doing?
Yeah, she's just chucking.
She's like throwing the basketball like a football. So, it's because she's mad.
Another plot remix. She's like shooting the basketball. It's going in. She's really having a good time with this. Just like, hey, basketball or something. Like,
hey, why don't you, like, coach basketball or something? Robbie coaches soccer.
Or even just have a hobby.
Yeah.
Just have something going on that's positive in her life that she can lean on.
Right.
But, nope, they're just going to make her throw basketballs.
So, Eric tells her she shouldn't marry Wilson because she doesn't love him. All right. Yeah, it was Wilson. I'm confused, though, because she does seem to love him. Whatever. So, the firefighter...
That was the idea.
Yeah. The firefighter, Ben, shows up out of nowhere from New York, which makes no sense. And then it's like, oh, we cut to commercial. We come back. Simon has slammed his car... Well, he slammed Robbie's car that he's driving into Matt's car, and it's a pretty bad. It's, like, not just a fender bender, like...
But Robbie's car.
Robbie's car's okay, but Matt's had to get towed. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, and they never discuss who's going to pay for it. They just walk away from this without even talking about it.
Well, they talk about it later. And the cop that is at the scene of the accident remembers him from the car chase, of course.
Why did they call the cops? I don't understand.
You have to. It's the law if there's an accident.
No way. You can. I when I like had.
Well, he had to get his car towed. That's, you know.
Sure, but I don't know. When I last time I hit a car, there wasn't that like there more. There was like my bumper was fucked up. His was fine. He was like, looks like you've got more problem than I do. And he just left. Like, you didn't call the cops for this.
Mm-mm. I'm not a car. I'm not a motorist, as you know. Lucy is upset and jealous that Ben is there. She's like, why does Mary have a cute boy and I don't have anyone? And I'm like, he isn't even that good looking. He's no Wilson in terms of looks. Do you not agree? He's goofy looking and his hair is thinning.
When they show how tall he is compared to everyone else, I don't know.
He's just tall.
It worked. Well, he's also, like, broad-shouldered.
He looks like a generic like character that would get killed off on Buffy.
They love generic characters. Look, like that's what.
Yeah, but Wilson's like memorable. Wilson's cute, and he started a cult.
Oh, it's just.
He's into spirituality. He could talk about letting go of thoughts.
he's cute. While, what's his name?
Ben,
that's what I was saying.
See, it's so unmemorable.
He's a hunk. He's a tall glass of water.
Okay. That's what Annie does call him, a hunk later. Yeah. Mary's hunk, she calls him. So, Simon has to confess to Eric about what happened with the cars, and Annie seems to be spitefully practicing Eric's unattached philosophy, and she's just like, oh, well. She's not even upset with Simon. She's like, glad you aren't hurt. Okay. And Eric's like, what?
Just walks out of the conversation.
As
if she had other things to attend to or something.
So it comes out that Mary also still has her engagement ring from Wilson. I'm just like, why are you holding... Just give it back to the guys. They spent lots of money on them.
But then if it's given back to me, I'm supposed to pawn it? Because I can't give it to another woman.
Yeah,
like,
sell it or
do?
Something. Sell it. It's a lot. It's expensive.
Yeah, it's...
Melt it down, I don't care. It's not fair to the guys.
No, I don't, of course not.
They're the dumbasses that proposed to these knuckleheads.
I'm just thinking, like, once I get this back, I still have to, like...
Oh, you just sell it.
Do something with it.
Liquid assets.
Literally.
Liquefy it into something else. Ben is trying to talk things out with Robbie and Matt, and they're just, like, not very helpful. They're telling him about... This is, again, the writer's trying to be like, oh, the Camdens are so zany, and they're just like, Camden women are crazy, and like, yeah, it's like, what? And they're fickle. And then Ben goes...
So I thought, when there was a little pause before they said fickle, and I thought a better word would have been, like I said before they said fickle, mercurial.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been a good one, but...
It's probably above...
So lowbrow.
Above the level of the Seventh Heaven writer's room. I was surprised when Ben went on this random rant about his ex-girlfriend who was a BBC anchor or something. Like, what? That came out of left field.
Now I'm blanking on that. What happened?
I don't know. I was like, falling asleep with my eyes open. But then he was like, and then my girlfriend left me because she was in the BBC or something as a news anchor. I was like, okay. Oh. Annie and Eric are discussing dating stuff again. I'm just like... Who cares? You're a grown adult. Why are you constantly discussing your teens, like, drama with their boyfriends? Well, it's like all you talk about.
I'd be discussing it. It's crippled and paralyzed both of these girls who are doing nothing in their lives.
That's true.
I think it's very relevant.
Yeah. But they're talking about it.
They're not teens. They're not just doing stuff in high school.
Yeah, but they're not saying that. They're being like, ooh, I like this boy. I like that boy. Well, like,
they think that maybe, which, like, this is not the way they should be doing this, but they think that maybe a good relationship will set these girls back on track or something. Get them
That's a crazy centered. Way to think. Why don't they set themselves back on track?
No one has to do
anything. That's, like, the weird, like... The show seems to be becoming, like, more conservative in some ways. It's like, everyone has to get married at, like, 21, and the only way to get your life on track is to find a good boy. Like, what is this?
Yeah. They don't really... This is, like, kind of neither here nor there, but they don't... They're not proud of Matt enough for, like, all of a sudden being a really good student. He's gonna be, like, go to med school and shit. Yeah. Like, they don't get really care about him at all. Yeah. And the rest of their kids, or at least... The other middle, like, the other older kids are just fucking
failure
up.
To launch. Yeah. Yeah, what is happening over there?
So, yeah, he should get more credit for that.
That's
true. Oh, but they talk about how great Robbie is. So much right. Robbie.
That's why Matt gets pissed. Yeah.
Speaking of Robbie, his brother, who is not Lance Bass, Ronald, comes in. He's really weird.
I mean, Robbie at some point says he's never... been an older brother, but, like, I thought Lance Bass was younger than him in the because he was
there's two brothers.
I know,
yeah,
but that would make Robbie an older brother.
Oh,
and, like, Lance Bass, if that would be weird if Lance Bass was Robbie's older brother and he was dating Lucy, like, went on a date with Lucy while Robbie went with Mary, so, like, he definitely has been an older brother,
yeah. I don't know.
Script supervisor, what are you doing?
Well, we find out that Lance Bass has been cut out of the family by this guy, Ronald.
Well, we saw Ronald.
For making out with Lucy.
Oh, even though he did past. Before this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he decided he won't talk to him anymore.
What the fuck?
Then he finds out Robbie made out with Lucy, and he is upset about that, obviously.
But then less upset.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's laying around in the girls' room just, like, taking advice from Ruthie, and he explains that he has come back because when he made out with Lucy, it helped him with his songwriting.
Is he, like a professional musician?
I don't know. He should get together with Joy.
Or, like, he could go to Juilliard where Jeremy went.
Yeah, why is everyone in the show a musician? It's a little weird. It's because it's written by people in Hollywood who have no concept of, like, normal jobs. Everyone's just, like, some kind of entertainer.
People think people in real life like entertainers, so they'll like fake entertainers, too.
Yeah.
And being a Latin superstar makes Joy more sexy, and that was what that was for. Mm-hmm. I really should hot pants.
Right.
Matt yells at Robbie some more, and he's accusing him of causing the accident on purpose, which is a wild thing to say. Ruthie, that's when they talk about the insurance or something, I think. Or maybe it's in a later continuation of that scene, but basically he's just like, and who's going to have to pay for that? And he's like, your parents? And he's like, yeah, but I'll help.
Yeah, but they don't actually say who is actually going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Ruthie tells Mary to stop being hung up on Wilson, and Ben overhears this, and he's upset, so they have to go on the porch to have a talk about it.
Also, why would Matt have to fucking help? Like...
It's his car.
Who got hit by Simon.
Oh, yeah, that's the insurance will just pay it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, so...
So he's trying to help with the other car? Robbie's car?
No, Rob... I think they mentioned insurance at all.
Oh.
Because... Why so were their parents?
Has no insurance. That's illegal.
I don't know, but I don't. If the Camden parents are paying for either way, I don't understand why Matt would need to help. He was hit by Simon / Robbie. It's not his fault.
Hmm.
If they're paying for it, it's because fucking they're Simon's parent. But also maybe Robbie should help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
And since Annie just quit her job, she has time to do the labor herself. Like, since she, like, restored that car. Mm. There you go. That'll save some money.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Ben and Mary are talking on the porch, and he's like, he has a really dumb line, which is, "The only thing I take more seriously than my job is my life." It's like, okay, isn't your job a component of your life? Like, what are you talking about? I guess he means his love life.
But yeah, weird is that, or like, this doesn't really roll off the tongue. The only thing I take more seriously than my job is my personal life.
Right, maybe that's what it was. Cut it. So, anyway. So he's basically just like, "I guess you're not the girl for me, and I shouldn't have come all the way out here on a whim." Like, okay, Ben, see ya.
So at this point, he has explained that he came out because their unit was adopting a dog specifically from Glen Oak, but, like...
Wait, what? Yeah. I missed that.
At some point...
Why is it with the fucking dogs all the time?
Oh, yeah, remember, this was in the thing... KJS Visitors made it seem like it was going to be much more of a deal, and you were like, "Ah, the dog trainer really has..."
Yeah, and there was no dog.
Yeah, I know. So, but, yeah, so we knew it was supposed to be a dog, and, but, like, he came, his unit was adopting a dog that just happened to be in Glen Oak, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to take the opportunity." He did say, like, things about train stuff, so maybe, like, firefighting dogs are a specific thing. Which
I don't know, trained in
like,
Glen Oak.
Get.
Glen Oak is known for its fire dog
maybe
training
you can't
facilities.
Get, like, fire dogs just anywhere.
Oh, okay. So Annie finally explains why she's quitting her job, because... her explanation makes very little sense. She's like, "I don't like teaching a group of kids. I like working with the kids individually to inspire them."
Well,
but
she basically wants to be like fucking like Aristotle or something.
Yeah,
she wants to be a private tutor
she's
to a child
yeah.
to discuss her.
She wants to be a kid life coach.
Yeah,
not even a teacher. She's like, "I just want to inspire."
Well, she did still say like about moral. Because her teaching was she was an ethics teacher, so she did talk about like helping kids establish their moral point of view and shit.
Right.
Which, in this...
Not really what ethics is like.
In this context, I don't love the idea of, like, indoctrinating kids.
Yeah, I'm like, what is the ethics that's being taught in this private school?
Like...
Because I feel like it's not Kant. Like, I don't know what they're doing in there.
This isn't the good place. There's a lot of ethics in that show. And just, like... What we know that Kim didn't stand for at their core, especially Annie, who's a fucking lunatic.
Marion Young. And then hiding things from your husband.
Yeah, like touching any sort of drug is like you're going to hell and shit.
Oh no.
Oh, actually, Annie's the one who did smoke weed.
Boy, did she regret it.
Yeah, that whole experience has definitely changed her.
I'm surprised they let Happy stay in the house after the whole joint incident.
This dog's no good.
So, Ronald, the brother, kisses Lucy. That's going on. Matt reveals that he's upset because he thinks Robbie's replacing him, and Robbie's like, "We've already gone over this." And
who thought that'd be good content? Like, yeah, let's rehash an argument.
And they even admit that we're rehashing it. What the hell? And he's like, but Robbie's just like, "You need to leave the house already, you know?"
And this part made me think, like, wow, Studio AT wasn't even, like, being insightful or anything. They were literally just writing, like, rehashing... regurgitating how the show was like, yeah, Matt, get out of here. It's literally written into the show that he had quote-unquote run his race, which apparently is not okay, because they're saying that he's dying of cancer because the actors can't, whatever the people were saying in the chat.
No, that was just silliness. That was in jest, I think. I mean, it is true that phrase means that, but I doubt Studio AT realized the coincidence.
I don't know, man. But,
I don't think run your race is a euphemism for dying. I think it's a euphemism just for the end of anything.
And maybe it's used for dying, but that doesn't mean it's the only thing it means.
Well, they seem to think it was a British thing, so I guess I'll have to ask the Brits. I'll find out.
Rebecca.
Remind me later.
Rebecca.
Or, you know, her mom. Anyone that's around, I don't know. All right. So
Mrs. Riddle apologizes to Ruthie and explains she was mad because of her ex-fiancé that cheated on her with her sister. I'm like, this is too much to be explaining to a child. Like, what are you doing, Mrs. Riddle? You're still crazy. Like, what? And now, but then she's like, and now I'm getting married to the principal of my school. I'm like, that is also a problem.
Well, there's...
Yeah, but they were dating while he was her boss.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. I don't know, I remember being cute. Like nerdy cute.
And then they have to wrap it into the engagement ring plot. So she has to be like...
I do think she's... Yeah.
I used to have an engagement ring of a man who wronged me, and then I eventually gave it back. Yeah. Okay, Miss Riddle, good on you. Good on your anger management therapy you went to.
For a while.
Oh, God. And we get back to the house. Lucy is still making out on the couch, and then basically Lucy and Mary agree to stop being pathetic about boys.
Pathetic!
And then the episode ends.
Yeah, the episode didn't move anything along.
3 out of 10. I liked the Mrs. Riddle plot a little bit because it was just goofy, but I don't know. Nothing else in this episode is even remotely interesting.
2 out of 10.
Oof.
And most of that score is going to the... I remember Ben being funny, but now I also can't remember any of the things he said.
Right. All right, any other plot remixes? I guess you already tried. You've done two already. Don't make me play three bumpers.
Different episode.
There's no way to fix this. It's totally vapid and has no substance. Like, it's just a bad episode.
Well, I always go for up the drama of, like, real drama. So, like, make...
have a plot.
More with Simons, because that was the only one that could actually have drama, because danger was involved.
Like, literally, they just did that plot, basically, with the car thing. Like, then they're just doing it again. They're like, he's bad at driving again. Like, okay.
Well, it was a different bad drive, but yeah. But, yeah, like, why'd they even do that? Well, yeah, and then my other... go-to is put more stuff in school. School's great.
Yeah, we haven't been in the school besides Ruthie's school, but we're not even seeing other kids.
I haven't seen a single locker.
Yeah.
It doesn't count if there's no lockers.
It's not even a teen drama anymore at this point.
I don't think it ever was supposed to be. They just had a lot of kids, yeah. So it touched on that, but it's really, it's a parenting drama.
It's a parent drama, yeah. Alright, well, next week, or next episode.
Next episode, season 6, episode 12, Suspicion, and the thumbnail is Annie looking really suspicious.
Oh, she does look suspicious.
So suspicious. Let's look through some cast. Board member number 2 is played by someone we never heard of, so that's cool. Oh, Detective Michaels is back. So, love that for...
Okay, so not much. Keep going.
Okay, storyline by KGF Fissers. While Robbie visits his mother in Florida, Ruthie sneaks in her friend Yasmin Halawi, a Muslim girl who has become the target of 2 bullies on the street.
Ooh, finally an issue one.
Yeah. The whole family feels obligated to help the whole KGF Fissers, why did you put so many "ol" sounds in a row? The whole family feels... "ol" and family. The whole family feels... obligated to help the whole Halawi family, who has lived in Glen Oak.
I thought for sure it was going to say something about halal, like halal meat. There's like so many alls in a row.
So many alls, and just L's everywhere. Who has lived in Glen Oak for years without problems, but every attempt proves difficult or even counterproductive. Matt and Simon nearly beat up the wrong suspects, and Ruthie's private school board votes against admitting Yasmin. Ooh, I'm looking forward
that
to
sounds,
this episode.
That one actually sounds very
I'm
good.
I'm really looking forward to
especially
this episode.
Considering the time period this came out.
Matt and Simon nearly beating someone up. Absolutely need to see that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, where's Robbie in all of this? Oh, in Florida. He's just not in the same.
Wow, they've never gone to Florida.
Do you think they're going to show him, like, in some scenes? They don't really give any plot to it. It's just, hey guys, you won't be seeing me around the next couple days. Bye, I'm going to Florida. Yeah. Okay, and then we have Studio AT, who gave it 8 out of 10. It doesn't or can't do it as often, but when it hits top form, Seventh Heaven is still a wonderful show. capable of making important social points in a warm and engaging way.
Alright.
I hope that's how it turns out.
Well, see you next time, guys.
Okay, it's 2002 right now.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be good.
Yeah.
We say. Next we're gonna be like, 1 out of 10. Nothing happened. Like, all the things that I just described, like, weren't actually in the show except for, like, half a second of reference.
That has happened before. Yeah. That has happened before. And we could, like, in the school shooting one, where nothing happened. Yeah. I could totally see this just be a lot of talking in a living room of, like, exposition of things that happened off camera and just, we need to be only more tolerant these days, right?
All right, well, whatever the case, see you next time.
Bye.